It's my honor today to introduce Jordan Lamlin. Jordan, come on up here. I met Jordan probably 4 years ago as I did premarital counseling for Jordan and Amy. Amy, wave your hand so everybody sees you. Amy was one of our children's ministry workers, like Sam, and Riley. She worked in our children's ministry, and she met Jordan, and they fell in love. I got to marry them about 3.5 years ago. And Jim and Chris are Amy's parents, and Jim and Chris were one of our first set of elders back over 10 years ago and served wonderfully. And Mark and Janet, Jordan's parents, are here today, so if you get a chance to say hi to them. I believe Jordan has a calling on his life. I'm speaking it publicly. And no pressure. So, you know, we get to talk a lot, and I said, Jordan, why don't you come and preach? And so today, Jordan is going to give you the message. So, Jordan, give him a piece of heaven today.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Dave, and I just want to say thank you to all of you for just letting me come and preach to you. I know you didn't make the decision to bring me in, but you're here and your hearts are open, so I just appreciate that. I'm very honored. I don't take this lightly. And before I say anything else, I just want to pray, dedicate this time, this sermon, and that the words that come from my mouth are of him. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us all here. The fact that we're all here this morning, just to honor you, to know you, we took that invitation that you extended to us to come here today. And I just ask that the words that I speak are of you, God, that Holy Spirit, you are speaking through me to touch all our hearts, mine, everyone in here, that we would just be open and receptive to whatever you might have for us, and that we'd walk out of here excited and ready for the week and for the year and the decade. We love you so much and dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name. All right, so today I'm going to be talking about, I know Pastor Dave has been talking about vision for 2020, and he's also been talking about the decade, right? Because we're not just entering a new year, but a new decade, and that's a really exciting time. And so what I want to talk about today as that vision is Jesus's vision for us in 2020 and what that looks like. And I've spent this whole year so far, now, granted, not every day, don't paint me a saint, but I've spent this whole year so far in John chapter 6. And so I'm just going to go through that. I believe Jesus is the ultimate storyteller, right? God created this amazing story. All our lives is an amazing story, contributing to him who is the main character. We're not the main characters, right? Sometimes I like to think I am, but I'm not. We're not the main character. Jesus is. So we're just going to go through the whole chapter bit by bit. We're not going to overwhelm ourselves with information, but I just love taking the context of the word seriously. And so we're going to dive right into John chapter 6. That's where I've been, and just bit by bit, the amazing meat that is in the word. So if you'll turn with me into John chapter 6, we're just going to, and before we get into it, I do want to talk about what we're talking about, right? So we're going to be looking for four attributes of Jesus that really stood out to me as I read this. Jesus has been doing a work in my life, in all our lives, right? And I kind of avoided God for a while. I just felt scared on the calling that he had for me. And I'm going to talk about that later. But this year, as I just patiently read through the word, right? So taking that time to soak it up and what he has for us. And I think that that's really important for us to do, not just today, but all the time. So John chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000, which is an incredible miracle. We see all these people come to Jesus, right? They all come to him, 5,000. And that's not just, you know, that says just 5,000 men, right? With the women and children, we know it's more than that. And he sees all these people coming, and he asks, he lifts up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to test him, because he knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Like, we don't have enough. Even if we had all this money, we couldn't feed all these people. And one of them says, "Oh, here's a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Right? Then Jesus takes the loaves, he gives thanks and breaks them and starts passing them out to everybody. All of them are fed and given more than enough with plenty left over. So an amazing miracle, right? But let's break it down. So Jesus sees all these people coming, and he's not daunted by all these people approaching him, wanting to be fed, right? In words, knowledge, but also food. Jesus isn't afraid for us to come to him. Every day he sends us an invitation to come before him, right? With our problems, with our joys, with our concerns, everything, our sins that we're dealing with. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be present. And it's so cool because, I told Pastor Dave, I said, as far as choosing a worship song, I was just like, no, it's okay. I don't need to choose a song. Like, I trust it'll work. And sure enough, all these songs were talking about coming before Jesus, waiting before Jesus, waiting on him. And that's exactly what these people do. They accept that invitation and come to Jesus. So they get that right. And Jesus is wanting us to come to him. We don't need to be afraid. So they come before him, but then they have to wait, right? So he breaks the bread, because that's a long time. If you picture Jesus walking around handing bread out to each and every one of you, that's going to take a while, right? Could get this room fed pretty quick, but the 5,000 plus, that's going to take a long time. So imagine that first person that gets the food. They can't fully appreciate the miracle because they got it right away. They didn't have to wait hardly at all. And so many of us, right, we get a blessing right away, and we're just like, cool, move on, eat. Because we didn't see the miracle to have, we couldn't appreciate it. But imagine the 5,000th person, the last person to receive that food, and how long they had to wait. Did they get impatient? Are they a little angry, a little bitter? You know, did some of them leave because they were too impatient to receive and they miss out on the miracle that God was doing? So I found myself actually at the beach the other day as I was preparing for the sermon. And I just finished a workout at the gym, and I was like, okay, I'll go look at the ocean. I'm right here. So gym's close enough to the beach, which is amazing. So I walk over to the ocean. I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, I have a lot to do. I got to prep a sermon. Got to, do all this, da-da-da. I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave. And then something my pastor said at Cottonwood Church that I attend stuck with me. He said, wait a little longer. Give Jesus a little bit more, right? Read a little bit more of the scripture. Sit in silence a little longer. And so I did that. I was kind of annoyed, but I stopped and I just said, okay. And I'm looking at the ocean and the beach, and it's a beautiful day. And I look behind at the gym that I was just at, and my house is less than 10 minutes away. I got an amazing wife who's out working this amazing job. Cute little dog. My family's here. Like, you think about all these amazing things that just flood you with. If we stop and take that time to come before him, accept that invitation, and just wait with him. Wait for him to just give us that blessing. We realize we already have such a blessing, right? We have more than enough, with plenty to spare. And I was just crying. It makes me, I get goosebumps now, just thinking about all that God has given me. And I know that all of us, I know all of us don't have everything. We all still are wanting so much more, but we have a lot. We have more than enough. It's important to take that time to appreciate it. So, moving on to the next point, right? So we have Jesus is inviting. That was that first point. So we need to come and wait before him. And then number two, Jesus is fearless, right? So this next section I love so much. Jesus is fearless, let him in. So then the people, right, his disciples, after this amazing miracle, leave to Capernaum. Capernaum. Pronunciation, I'm not sure on. Capernaum. I was off on both accounts. So they leave to go to Capernaum, right? And they leave Jesus behind. He's up on a mountain praying. Now, I'm sure there's another gospel that accounts for this. Maybe they had a plan, right? But, Jesus might have told them to go. But in this passage, we just see that the disciples leave Jesus behind and go on their way, right? And they're 4 miles out to sea when all of a sudden they see Jesus walking toward them on the water, coming after them. And at first, they're scared, right? It says they're afraid when they see Jesus coming. And then he says, don't be afraid, it is I. Then they're happy to see him. They let him in the boat. And it says immediately the boat got where it was supposed to go. They got where they were supposed to go once they let him in. So let's break that down now, right? So even that moment at the beach with me, I almost left Jesus behind, right? How many of us wake up in the morning, check our phone, just jump, run out of bed, get started with the day, jump in the car, and we leave Jesus behind. We don't take that time to accept the invitation. We miss it. We miss the miracles that we could witness, right? We miss the blessings he wants to give us each day. We don't want to leave Jesus behind. We want to go pursue him. We want to let him in. But even when we do leave him behind, we shouldn't be afraid, right? So many times I've left him behind, and I see him coming, and I'm like, oh, no, I forgot. I can't believe I left Jesus behind. Like, oh, no, I can't let him see me like this. This is too bad, you know? Jesus is fearless. He will come after you, and he doesn't care what circumstance you've got yourself into. He doesn't matter what you're facing. He will come after you, and he wants you to let him in. He wants you to see all of you. Don't be afraid to show him parts of you that you're ashamed of, or show him parts of you that you don't know how to show. Just be there with him, right? Let him in, and you'll get where you're supposed to go. When Pastor Dave asked me to preach, I was terrified. Because I used to preach all the time when I was younger, right? And I built this kind of arrogance, and it wasn't, it was like a humble arrogance. You know, I told myself I wasn't. But like deep down, I knew. I'm like, I'm pretty cool. And so I kind of just stepped away and ran away, and because I didn't like that in myself. And when Pastor Dave asked me, I just said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus is like, you're right, you never will be, right? And it's that moment of just, no, we're never going to be worthy, but he has made us worthy, only because of him. So we shouldn't be afraid to let him in. So thank you for asking me. And I, because I let him in, I'm here now with you today, and I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And it's just a peace, and I can't explain. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I'm so thankful that you asked that, that you let the Spirit guide you into prompting you to ask me. This is crazy, amazing. Anyhow, so Jesus comes after us. He's fearless. We need to let him in, and we'll get where we're supposed to go. So that's point number two. Then, number three, Jesus is intentional, right? So after this amazing miracle that we see, the 5,000 people are stoked. They're like, what did we just see? We want to see more of that. So they go after Jesus, right? They go to Capernaum, and they find him, and they basically want to see what else he can give them. And Jesus sees right through their intention. Now, I'm sure some of them earnestly wanted to see him. They fell in love with him and wanted to see him, and I hope that's the case for all of us. But it's so easy to judge these people, but I find all these people, wow, I'm like them, right? I'm like that. I so often go to Jesus just for the quick fix to get what I need, and then I'm like, thanks, go on with my day, right? Feeling full, feeling blessed, but ultimately leaving Jesus behind, even after he just blessed me, right? How many of us do that? I know I do it way too often, and yet we shouldn't be afraid when we remember, okay, here he is. Let's bask in it. So they want to see this amazing miracle again, and Jesus sees through our intention. What is our intention when we come to him? And for me, it was so long, it was just checking off the goody two-shoe Christian marks, right? Trying to, like, hey, okay, I prayed today, I read the Bible today. Okay, I'm good. Yeah, I preached to someone, dropped a little sermon, said, I'm praying for you. Okay, I did my Christian deeds. I'm going to heaven at the end of the day, right? And so many of us, I even do that with my wife sometimes, where it's like, all right, I made the bed, you know, I cleaned the house, I walked Lammy, you know, my dog, yeah, not, you know, nothing else. And I walked Lammy, did all that. I'm good. I'm a good husband. I told her I love her. I'm good. But she sees through that so often sometimes when my heart isn't in the right place, when I'm not doing it out of love, but just out of duty or obligation, or just so I can get the good marks, right? She sees through it, and I'm like, okay, no, it's true. Got to do a heart check. What's our intention going to Jesus? Is it to see the miracle, or is it to see him? We want to see him. We want to know him. And that's what he wants too, right? So that's number three. And then we have number four, Jesus is committed. Jesus is so committed to each and every one of us. And it's one of the most beautiful qualities that he has. But part of commitment is speaking hard truth, right? So committed, stay with him. Because Jesus, being a Christian is so hard. It is so hard. And I know a lot of you can attest, life is not easy. I know that there's so many times I've wanted to walk away, but it's like, but I know the truth, I can't, right? Jesus is committed to us, and he's going to challenge us daily. How many of you have read a scripture where it's like, ooh, that's uncomfortable? I don't know if I like that, right? Or a sermon that hits home a little too much, and you're like, all right, let's go eat lunch. And you're like, I'm not going to dwell on that. There's so many moments like that where we're terrified of what Jesus is asking us to do or not do, right? Things we have to give up that we know we need to, but we don't want to. There's so many moments like Jesus committed to making us like him, to making us better. All those rules and commandments were for us to have a good life. He cares so much, he wants us to have a good life. So we want to stay with him. And Jesus says something to all the people that come to him, right? He says, I am the bread of life. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood will not perish but have eternal life. And so many of these people are like, what is he talking about? Like cannibalism? Like, what is he going on about? And a lot of them know what he was saying. And maybe they didn't agree with him. Maybe they thought, you're not God. You're just a man. I'm out of here, right? Or some of them were just confused by it and said, that's too hard a teaching. I can't understand it. They didn't take the time to wait with Jesus for it to digest and blossom into something beautiful, right? We need to wait on Jesus and hear that message that he's preaching to us. And we see so many people leaving the church now. And I think a lot of times it's because they're challenged. I don't think it's so much that they're bored or this and that. It's because they're challenged and they don't want to give up things in their life. They're uncomfortable. I know that's how it's been for me sometimes. Where even when Pastor Dave asked me again, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to do that. Because that means I'm going to have to start making changes in my life. That means I'm going to have to really pursue Jesus. It means so many things. But wow, the difference I've seen in doing that, I'm excited about life. He knows what's good for us, like any parent does. So he's committed to making us better all the time. And we shouldn't be afraid. And the saddest part is so many of the disciples in this passage leave. It says, after this, so many left because it was too hard. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, he turns to the 12, right? And he says, do you wish to go as well? And I think he asks us that almost every day when we have those moments, right, where we leave him behind, where we're not accepting the invitation, where we're not being intentional with him. He's asking, do you wish to leave as well? Are you wanting to give up on me? Because I'm not giving up on you. I'm going to come after you every day. I'm going to face that storm and come after you. And I love how Peter responds, because this is how I want to respond. It's how I want all of us to respond when he asks us that. Is he says, no, where would we go? You're the Son of God. He believes right away. He calls him the Son of God. And it's important for us to acknowledge who he is every day. He is the King of Kings, right? The King of Kings, over the president, right? He has authority over us. And we want to accept, proclaim who he is and accept that invitation. And I'm so ashamed to say that I haven't been committed every day to Jesus, right? And there was a moment where I was like, I am going to go away without even saying it, right? It's more that I'm gonna walk away and I'm not gonna say it, but everyone else is leaving, I'm gonna leave too, right? But no, I'm all in, and I want us to be all in this year, in 2020, this decade, the rest of our lives. We want to be committed to Jesus just as he is. So there's a really bad joke I invented about 12 years ago, and it's funny because it's 12 disciples. It's pretty fitting. And I never understood why I invented it. I was speaking at my high school, like just emceeing something. And to kill time, I made up this horrible joke that I thought was funny. No one else did. And I'll tell it to you now. So there's two men walking down a bridge, a narrow bridge, and they see a car coming, right? So the one friend turns to him and says, hey, there's a car coming. We should probably move. And the other friend says, where would we go? Right? Horrible joke. That's the end of it. You're all waiting for like a punchline. So no, that's it. Horrible joke. Where would we go? He says. And I never understood why I invented it. I thought that was the worst joke ever. But as I was reading this passage, all of a sudden there was like a click. And it was just like, wow, that's Peter's word. Where would we go? Right? And so many of us, when we see the truth coming at us, like that car, And we can jump off the bridge, we die. When we see Jesus coming at us, so often we want to just run away. We want to try and outrun it, but it's going to come and get us. Even if we run for a long time, it's going to come get us. The truth is going to find us out. Or if you want to see that car is not as a truth, but as life, right? Barreling towards us. And Jesus says, do you want to leave? Do you want to jump and try and make it on your own? And it's that moment of just turning to him and say, where would I go? I know I'm fine. I know you get me out of this impossible situation I'm in, or this impossible circumstance, this thing I can't understand what you're trying to teach. I know you'll get me out. I'm going to stay with you. We need to stay with him, stay committed to him, and we'll get where we're supposed to go. So that is the four attributes of Jesus I really see in that. Number one was, what was it again? It was inviting. It was fearless. Jesus is intentional. And Jesus is committed. And so right now, as we wrap it up, I want you to replace Jesus' name with your own. Right? Be like Jesus, because that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like Jesus. That's what he wants of us, because he knows that's how we're going to have the best life. So put your name in there just for a moment. Just, are you those things? Is Jordan inviting? Am I fearless? Am I intentional? Am I committed? And then we see how, when we are these things with Jesus, we see how that translates into our life, into the people around us. When I'm taking time to accept that invitation to Jesus, I'm going to be extending that invitation to others naturally, because I'm excited about it, because I'm waiting on Jesus, I'm seeing the miracles that are happening, and I'm able to share them and broadcast them to other people. Because you can't help it, if you get invited to an amazing party, you're going to tell people about that party that you're excited about, right? If a celebrity invites you to a party, you're going to be bragging about it. So that's a natural thing that we want to do. When we're accepting the invitation, we can't help but showcase it. And I believe this is Jesus' vision for us in 2020 and 20 beyond, right? Is for us to do all these things so that we can effectively love others. Because all these attributes attribute to the one word, love. Love is more than just one word. Jesus is loving. We want to be loving. But how do you explain love? It's in so many words. And this 1 John chapter 6 is only four little things of such a bigger God. And this is just what I was able to dig up. You're going to be able to dig up so much more if you take time and dissect, accept the invitation, waiting on Jesus, right? And then when we're fearless with him, when we recognize that Jesus is fearless and we can be fearless too, and let him see everything about us, and show others everything about us that we're scared to, it's going to make all the difference. When I let Amy see who I am, we're able to have an effective relationship, an amazing relationship. When I hold things in, she knows, and it creates this tension. And that's how it is with so many of us. Jesus knows what we're trying to hide. He knows what we're ashamed of. He knows what we don't even want to celebrate and give honor to him about. So when we're fearless and let him in, we're going to get where we're supposed to be in our relationships and our jobs, everything. And we bring them a part of it. And then Jesus is intentional. Jordan is intentional. Pastor Dave is intentional. All of us, and Pastor Dave is intentional. Yes. I just want you to know, you have an amazing pastor who actually cares about you. You're not just a number. That's a beautiful thing. And because that's been one of my biggest beef with pastors, and something I've always been scared of. And Amy's even says, like, you know, if you start trying to become a pastor, you have to care about people. I was like, oh, you're right. That's true. That's true. No, but you've got a pastor who really cares about people. He cares about all of you, taking time to hear your requests and pray for you. That's beautiful. So being intentional, right? And when we're intentional with Jesus, setting aside time for him, dedicating time to him, we're going to be able to do that with other people. We're going to make time. We're going to learn to say no when we can't, because we got to take care of ourselves, protect that. Being honest, right? Seeking with truth. It's going to make all the difference. And then the last one, Pastor Dave is committed. You see that. He's committed to this church. He's committed to you. He's committed to Jesus. We want to be committed to Jesus, and we're going to see our commitment with everything else, our jobs, our friendships, our family, everything. It's going to just flourish that much more. Because when we're living in tune with Jesus, everything else falls into place. We get where we're supposed to go, and we accept the invitation daily. So that is my encouragement to you in 2020 and beyond. Thank you so much for having me. Let's just close in prayer. And if you just bow your heads and let's speak this truth into our lives as we go from here. Jesus, thank you so much. I was so terrified of giving this sermon, and you, Holy Spirit, just spoke through, and I felt you, and I'm so thankful. And I pray that so many in here felt you speaking to them, and that we walk out of here not forgetting what we learned, but that we would accept the invitation you placed before us every day. We would be fearless before you and fearless with others to show, to not be ashamed of you. And that when we do forget you, that we bring you along, we apologize, we move on, knowing that you want what's best for us. And Jesus said we would be intentional with our time with you. Just like every Sunday we set aside, every day we should be setting aside for you and being committed to you and furthering your kingdom and your gospel. And I just pray that over every single one of us in here, this year 2020, we would be on fire for you and loving others. In Jesus' name.
If you're able, let's stand and worship and sing How Great Is Our God.